really one of the most enjoyable things we do here at Living Hope. Your wife was right back there, Denny. So in a real quick snapshot, this is what we're going to do this morning. I'm going to share a shortened sermon. How often you hear pastors say that, a shortened sermon, right? You'll have to hold me to the clock and see if that's true or not. But then you're going to get to meet the people that are being baptized. You're going to be able to hear their stories. And then we're going to move up onto the stage and actually do the baptism. So that's the morning in a snapshot. So again, it's good to have you here. For those of you who are here specifically because someone you know is getting baptized, welcome. Glad you could join us. You'll notice that the front two rows here are completely empty. That's so family members can move up, if you choose to get a good view of the baptism when it's happening. So I'll try to remember to remind you of that when we get to that point a little later. So I thought, okay, shortened sermon. What can I talk about here in I won't even say a time because then you'll be able to hold me to it with a stopwatch, but for a short period of time about baptism. And I thought, well, I'll talk about some of the symbolism of baptism. There's a lot of symbolism in baptism. But I thought, you know, while I'm at it, since I have a limited period of time, I'll explain the whole entire Bible to you as well while I'm at it. Now, that's funny, right? The funniest thing about that is I'm actually going to try to do that. When I met with Pedro and Angie one of the first times, one of the couples that's going to get baptized here this morning, I asked them this question. I said, what's the story of the Bible? Like, if you had to summarize this whole book, 66 books, 40 authors, over 1,000 chapters, if you had to summarize it in about 5 minutes, how would you do it? And how would you do that? If someone came up to you and said, okay, you got 8 minutes, go, tell me the whole story of the Bible. How would you do it? Well, this is what I shared with Pedro and Angie that morning, and I'd like to share it with you this morning because it's so interrelated to everything that you're going to see here today. It's so interconnected. So let's dive in. While we do that, before we start, I'd invite you to turn to Romans 5 in your Bibles. Romans 5. If you're using one of the guest Bibles that's under the chair in front of you, you'll find Romans 5 on page 798. Otherwise, Romans is in the New Testament. You have the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, then the book of Acts, then the book of Romans. So it's the sixth book in from the front of the New Testament, the book of Romans. I'll be referring to that several times as I go through. So, if you were going to summarize the story of the Bible, how would you do it? Now, this is how I'll do it this morning. And also, by the way, I realized I hadn't used stick figures for a while, so I thought we should get some stick figures in the story of the Bible, right? Okay, so let's bring up a word here. To me, this word is a word that I would take as the beginning of the story. The beginning of the story, the story of the Bible, the beginning of the story. In Genesis, the first few chapters, you see God the Creator creating everything, all that we see. And then as it gets in towards the end of those 6 days of work, you see him creating all the animals. And then the last thing he creates is mankind. And I think this word, relationship, is a core part of God creating mankind. Just think of this for two things. God gave man, you and me, unlike any other part of creation, he gave us free will. He gave us a choice. We are able to make choices. The animal kingdom were created with instincts, and that's how they live their lives, right? I'm not a veterinarian or anything, but a deer does what all deer do, and dogs and cats, and there are certain instincts in animals that control their behavior. We have instincts too, but we also have a free will. Why did God give us a free will? There were also some guidelines that God placed on Adam and Eve in the garden. He said, you know, you can eat from all the trees except this tree. Relationship, get this, I think this is very profound. I'm not saying that to brag because I'm saying it, but I just had this thought. Relationship is only available, is only possible when there's free will. Like if I go up to you, I say, Dan, I'm commanding you to be my friend. You must. You have no choice. If you don't, if you say no, I'm going to have you arrested. Not a very good relationship, right? Relationship is based on free will. And when God put guides, rules, if you will, for Adam and Eve, he was saying, I'm not doing this to hurt you. I'm doing this to protect you because I love you. And I want to see our relationship a strong relationship. So this, it's incredible in creation that God actually allows this relationship between him and mankind, the crowning work of his creation. So that's chapter one of the story of the Bible. What's chapter two? You probably have it figured out by now. We go from relationship to relationship broken. How is the relationship between God and man broken? It was broken also in Genesis in the third chapter, very early in this story, when Adam and Eve chose to disobey God. They chose to disobey God. And this created a break in the relationship. Now, if you're in Romans chapter 5, notice what verse 12 says. Romans 5:12 says, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, that's referring to Adam, and death through sin, and in this way, death came to all men because all sinned. Paul is referencing here to sin entering the human race happened there in Genesis. Through one man, we have all become sinners. Some people struggle with that. They're like, wait a minute. I don't like being called a sinner because something somebody did like thousands of years ago. Like, I want to be judged on my own actions. Paul says elsewhere in Romans, in the third chapter, he said, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So sin is part of this broken relationship that we all have, that we're actually born with because of what happened there. So we have a relationship, then there is a break in the relationship. Relationship, break in the relationship. Remember we talked about this, Pedro? You start with a relationship, then there's a break in the relationship, and that was sin. Now, the third part of the story of the Bible, and the final part, is relationship restored. The entire Old Testament, I believe, and I know this is like super mega simplified, but you can look at the Old Testament and say, this is a story of God dealing with a people in the midst of a broken relationship. There was law. There was a lot of these other things, but especially when you read the book of Hebrews, which looks back at the Old Testament and starts really dissecting what all was going on there, there was something that stood between the people and God, and it was called sin. Just this broken relationship. But something happened to restore the relationship, and that something is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, through his life and teaching on earth, communicated to mankind how much the Father wanted to see this relationship restored. Let me say that again. Jesus Christ, through his life and teaching, communicated to mankind the great desire the Father had to see this relationship restored. Have you ever been in that situation? I'm sure you all have, where there's someone close to you and there's a break in the relationship, and you long for it to be restored. You long for this person to come back. You long for this disagreement to be settled because you love them, because you miss them. You miss the closeness. That's the way God felt. If you want to see a picture of that, just read Luke 15. Luke 15 is Jesus tells several stories of the Father's desire to see lost things found. And the main part of Luke 15 is a story about a father whose son blows him off, turns his back completely on him, goes far, far away, and the grieving father just waiting for an opportunity to restore this relationship. Read that if you have it. If you're not familiar with that powerful, powerful story. There's also, then that's the life and teaching of Jesus. Then through the death and resurrection of Jesus, the power of sin and death is defeated.
This thing that stands between man and God that causes a break in relationship, it's defeated. Look at Romans 5 again, this time at verse 6. Go up to verse 6. Paul says this, "You see, at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, some might possibly dare to die." Now, if you just stop there, Paul's saying that giving your life for someone else is even conceivable if the person that you're giving your life for is worth it, if they're a good person, if they're a righteous person. But he goes on to say, but God, this is verse 8, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were holy and righteous, Christ died for us." No, that's not what it says. I read that wrong. It says, "While we were still sinners, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." So God takes this step to allow this relationship to be restored. God takes this step through sending his son and through offering his son as a sin offering for this relationship to be restored. Going on from there, verse 9, Romans 5, 9, "Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." Reconciliation just means bringing the two parties back together again, creating this break in the relationship. Through Christ, God addresses this broken relationship and he allows it to be restored. So the whole entire Old Testament, this is like super simplification Bible 101, the Old Testament is you see the outworkings of this broken relationship. The Gospels, you have these four chapters, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, you have these Gospels where we understand that Jesus came to explain the love of the Father and to give his life as a sin offering. And now you have the rest of the Bible from Romans on, which is basically men writing to you and to me, pleading with us, be reconciled to God. A way has been made. A way has been made. What's left for us is to choose that. It's like getting... I hate the game of Monopoly. It takes too long. My attention span is not that good. I don't really like Monopoly. But if I remember correctly, those cards in the middle, one of them is a get-out-of-jail-free card, right? Because you normally have to pay to get out of jail. But you get to get out of jail free. Now, I think this is right what I'm saying. You don't have to use that right away, do you? You can hang on to it, right? You hang on to it, to get out of jail free, but then it doesn't do you any good. Until you find yourself in jail and say, wait a minute, I have a card for this. I can get out of jail and I can get out of jail free. That's a really lame example. But when God sent his son to die, to break this curse of sin, to deliver us from the curse of sin, he was basically placing a get out of jail free card on the table for every one of us. Our part, and it's the message of the New Testament, is be reconciled to God. Understand his love for you. Understand this way that he's made for you. And use that get out of jail free card. Put your faith in him. Surrender your life to him. And you'll see the relationship restored. Okay? So let's go through it. This was really complex. Okay? This is like the story of the Bible. Okay? You go from relationship. You go to relationship broken. This happens very early. To relationship restored through Christ. There it is. How long did that take? About 10 or 12 minutes maybe. Just a few comments yet about baptism, which continues to tie right into this. You'll see that Paul talks specifically about baptism as we get over into Romans 6. I often use my wedding band as an example when I talk about baptism. I know a lot of you have heard me say this, so just bear with me. My wedding band that I wear on this hand, it's the only piece of jewelry I wear. This wedding band is a symbol that represents something. Now, anybody can go to a jewelry store and buy a wedding band. It can be very cheap. It can be very expensive. Anybody can buy a wedding band, and anybody can put it on their finger. There's no laws. Anybody can wear a wedding band. But just because you wear a wedding band doesn't mean you're married. Just because you wear a wedding band doesn't mean you're married. The idea of the symbol of a wedding band is that it's connected to something that actually happened. And that is that on October 20th, 1984, Molly and I stood in front of a church in Weaverland, Pennsylvania, and we exchanged our wedding vows. So this symbol is tied to that reality. Okay? When you see a baptism, what you're seeing is a symbol, and I'm going to talk about the symbolism really quickly. You see a symbol that's tied to a reality of someone placing their faith in Christ. You are not saved when the water comes onto your body in the baptistry tub. You are saved when you place your faith in Christ and you surrender to Him, wherever that is, whenever that is, however that happens. But then baptism is an external symbol where you get to share that decision with the rest of whoever happens to be at the baptism. So I'm just going to hit these real quickly, and we're going to move on into the next step here then. I think baptism represents a number of things. The first one, you might not always think of this. Some of these I know you've heard a lot before. But remember I said in the beginning, God gave man a free will. To me, baptism is tied into this. No one who's getting baptized this morning is getting baptized because I sent them an email saying, you must get baptized on November 16th. If you don't, I'll be mad at you or whatever. It doesn't work that way. Just as man was given a free choice in the beginning whether to obey or disobey the guidelines that God had placed down, in the same way, we have the choice to either accept this get-out-of-jail-free card or just let it lay on the table. We have that choice. So this baptism is people who have made that decision. So that's part of the symbolism to me, I believe. Cleansing, of course, cleansing. That's we think of the water. What does the water represent? Well, the water is often used in ritual washing. But we want to make sure we understand something regarding cleansing. Romans 5:9. Okay, if you're still in Romans, notice I mentioned this earlier, but Romans 5:9 says, since we have now been justified by His blood, it's the blood of Jesus that actually is the agent that cleanses our body. The blood of Jesus, the shed blood of Jesus, is what deals with our sin issue. But the water represents that this morning, cleansing. Okay, what's next on the list? Surrender. We sang about that this morning. Kevin prayed about that this morning, about surrender. Part of placing our faith in Christ is surrendering our own game plan for our life. We come to Christ in faith and we say, okay, I want to restore this relationship with my Heavenly Father. I believe that you are the way that I do that through the cross. And now I surrender myself to you. How's that represented in baptism? This is just a really simple little thing. But when I baptize these individuals, they are going to allow me to either place them under the water or completely cover them with water. They're going to allow me to do that. I hope they don't fight me for it. It might get a little messy. But you surrender yourself. You surrender yourself to being placed under the water, and that's what we do with Jesus Christ. We say, I surrender my life to you. And now the next two, I'm going to put them both up here because they seem to contradict one another, and it doesn't seem that both of them can be true. Baptism represents death. Baptism represents new life. Okay, Ron, is this an either or? Like, how can it be both? How can the same symbol represent both? Well, clearly it does. Clearly it does. Let's look at Romans 6 now. Romans 6, just one chapter over. Romans 6, starting at verse 11. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey your evil desires. Let me just stop there. Just focusing on the fourth verse. I'm sorry, I skipped over that. I wanted 6:4 first. Romans 6:4 says this, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, and this is the verse that's behind me, In order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. So when the persons walk down the tub into this water, it's kind of symbolizing walking down into their grave, kind of morbid, huh? Kind of walking down into their grave. But when they come back up out of that tub, they're walking up into this new life. This is a symbol of what happens when you accept Christ. Your old life is put to death. Your new life is now a reality in Christ. A new life that is possible because your relationship with God has been restored. You can now walk with the presence of the Spirit. You can now walk with joy. You can now walk with victory. Those are the things that are represented. And really quickly, at new life. What does that mean, new life? Like, I'll never die. I'll never get sick. Like, I'll make millions of dollars. Like, what does this new life look like? This is what I started to read a moment ago in verse 11 of Romans 6. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. Offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. I don't want to hear that you're, well, I'm obeying God now and I'm following these rules and I'm going to church, well, because I have to or because some pastor said I'm supposed to. No, you offer yourselves to God as one who has been brought from death to life. That is what motivates you. You look at your life and you see my relationship with God was broken. There was something that stood between us, but through the blood of Christ, that has been dealt with. I now can walk in new life. And out of appreciation and thankfulness for what God has done, I'm going to offer myself to him as a sacrifice, to use me as he wants to direct my life as he wants to show me his path, to correct me, to speak a rebuke in my life if he has to. I do that as one who has been brought from death to life, to new life. So, which of those stick figure pictures matches where you are right now? The very first one of God's relationship with man in the beginning, that was broken. That was broken for all of us. Unfortunately, we cannot really enjoy that until we're in heaven, quite to that level. But the reality for all of us, we are born in this broken relationship because of sin in our lives. But for many of you, through placing your faith in Christ, you are now enjoying this new life and you are now enjoying a personal relationship with him. So which of those pictures describes where you are with God this morning? Because it's not a complex answer. It's a pretty simple answer, really. If you long to see your relationship with your Heavenly Father restored as he longs to see it restored, you place your faith in Christ. The people that are getting baptized up here, I'm going to ask them four questions when they're in the water. I would ask you these questions right now. Do you believe that Jesus Christ died on a cross to pay the penalty for your sins? Do you believe that? Have you accepted his gift of forgiveness by placing your faith in him? Another way I guess I could say that is, have you actually used the get out of jail free card that you possess, that everybody possesses? Have you used that? Do you believe that he also rose from the grave and is giving you new life each day? And do you now commit yourself to the ongoing battle against sin and to living your life in obedience to God? I'll ask the folks getting baptized that question, but I ask you those questions also. And your answer to those questions holds the key to seeing your relationship with your loving Father restored. And I long for that for each of you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this simple story. The simple story, God, of how our relationship with you, you've created man to have this wonderful, close, and intimate relationship with you, God. We see how that was broken. But God, you have made it possible for that to be dealt with. You have made it possible for us to restore that relationship through the blood of Christ. And I pray for each person here this morning, God, wherever they are on that journey, maybe they're still kind of looking in and saying, I really don't know about this. I'm not even sure this makes sense. God, I pray your blessing on them. I pray that your Holy Spirit would just bring wisdom to them. And God, for these individuals getting baptized this morning, bless them, encourage them today also as they make public the reality that they have put their faith in Christ. Bless us now, Lord, as we move ahead in this exciting part. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. Kevin, I need the handheld. Do you still have it, or did it go back there? What I'd like to do at this point, sometimes I do what we're about to do. Here, I'll move this over here. While people are up in the baptistry. But I thought this morning, I'm going to have you hear their story first. Because it's a little easier to hear and see while we're here. And then we'll leave the baptism for that part over there. So we're just going to start. I'll remind you again, these two front sections are empty. So when we actually go up there and start getting people in the baptistry pool, feel free to come up and sit here. Family members or those who want to get closer, life groups, things like that. Or you can always come up and sit on the floor. All right, so we're baptizing five people today, and I would like to introduce them to you now and just let you hear a little bit of their story. All right, we're going to start with Jackie and Braden. Now, this is a mother and son, so you guys are over there. So you can come on up, Braden. I'm going to talk to you first, but buddy, come on over here. So this is Braden Strasser. Coming up after him will be his mom, Jackie. So it's probably been maybe 2 months ago that Braden came up to me quite boldly one morning after church. He said, "I want to be baptized." I'm like, "That's awesome. So let's talk about it." So just the first thing, I basically asked two things. Tell me about when you accepted the Lord and that what led to this point of wanting to be baptized. So just tell me about this thing of accepting the Lord. When did you accept Jesus?
I accepted Jesus when I had first came to church and realized how much he had done for me.
Okay, that was when you started coming here. Yeah, mm-hmm. Awesome. And so then at some point in there, you heard us talk about baptism, and you were like, "Yeah, I want to do that." So what was going on in your mind then?
I guess it just kind of interested me, and just to kind of show how I followed him.
Okay, awesome. So that's what it is. It's a symbol. So mom, come on up. You can join us up here yet. Actually, you can sit right here, Braden, you sit right in front here while we talk to your mom. I'm sitting on a stool, so I'm not so much taller than everybody today. So I've asked Jackie to share some of her story, which we talked through some of this on the phone, but you guys have been coming to Living Hope for 6, 8, 9, here, you can hold that. I'll just let you hold that. Got to hold it up to your mouth, though. That's good.
Well, about 8 months.
8 months. Okay. All right. So just take us through the story. I mean, I know you could talk a lot, but we kind of went through some of this on the phone, and the reason I say I know you could talk a lot because there's a lot to your story. I don't mean that you just naturally talk a lot. All right. I'm going to stop talking now, and you can start.
Yeah, put it off already.
Yeah, before I make it worse.
Well, growing up, I had God's love for everybody else, never for myself. I had a really horrific upbringing. The God that I had been taught about was very vengeful, and there was no saving you there. And so I didn't see the point in it. If I wasn't good enough, what was the point in struggling through life, trying to reach something that wasn't attainable?
And just to expand on that, your understanding was there was no way that you could ever measure up to God's, yeah, all of the standards, all the things you had to do. So salvation was tied to doing enough and being good enough. Yeah. That is so common. So many people believe that. Keep going.
The churches that I had visited throughout my life, it was basically the same thing. It was everybody looking down their nose on you, and you would never meet their standards either. And so I was very church shy. But when I came here, it was like coming home. And I knew that this was where we belong as a family. And the ladies in my life group, you all have no clue how much I love each and every one of you. and I am so grateful for everything you've done in bringing me to this point in my life.
One of the things you said to me when we talked on the phone was that when, you know, just over the past year or two, as you started to turn back to God, you knew that was what you needed to do. You knew that was what God was calling you to. But when you did that, it stirred up some really difficult questions. You want to just say a little bit about that?
As I said, I had a really horrific upbringing. I've seen things no child should ever be exposed to. And so when I started to turn back to God and want a relationship, then I had to question why everything happened the way it did. How could a God who loves you so much allow so much hurt in somebody's life? That's what I'm working through right now.
You're still on that journey.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a big question. I mean, we don't want to take that lightly or blow that off, because you have been through a tremendous amount. I know the series that we've been going through as far as freedom and breaking free from some of that, I know that's been pretty difficult for you. It's been kind of hard to walk through that, but we're trusting God is doing what he always does, and that is brings us to him, draws us closer to him. Just give us a little snapshot of like the difference in your life now. Like in the past year or two, as you started coming to the Lord, you've connected with people. What's God doing?
I used to just assume that I was not an emotional person. I don't cry at weddings and funerals. I cried when my children were born, but I didn't get the ooh-ah feeling when babies were around me or anything like that. What I realized was that from all of the trauma, I had shut down emotionally. And so at this point, with a lot of prayer, counseling up at the Life Center, those emotions are being reawakened. And I am finding that I have more of a heart for people than I did before.
That's right.
I am letting people into my inner circle that I never did before.
Mm-hmm. I'll say more about this later, but you're early in that process. There's a whole lot more of that opening up and God using you that you can't even imagine yet. Baptism. You told me of a conversation you had with a pastor when you were much younger about baptism. Yeah. What did you come away from that conversation thinking?
That there was no hope. This pastor had basically told me that if you weren't baptized, then there was no way you were going to make it to heaven, because that was a requirement of us. And so that just set the message, yet another brick in that foundation that will never measure up.
Yeah. I'm sure the pastor was very well-meaning, but what you heard in that was basically a very strong-handed, almost forceful thing. So when I said a couple minutes ago that this is a symbol of free choice and of personal choice, that's what you're doing now. No one is forcing you to do this. So, well, thank you for sharing your story. We'll get to baptize you here in a few moments. Thank you so much. I'm sorry. Yeah, they're going to go get ready now. So, Hannah, you're up now. Come on up. This is Hannah Schumann. How old are you, and where do you go to school?
I'm 15. I go to LMH.
All right, 15 LMH. So we got to talk a bit coming up to this day. So tell me about the journey for you. I'm going to ask you to stand forward. Just a little bit further this way. I'm afraid I'm blocking everybody's view over there. That's good. I'm just going to be a little behind you. Just tell me the journey of accepting Christ, some of the things you were talking to me about.
Well, whenever I was 8, I accepted Christ into my life, and then last year at school, my Bible teacher brought the Bible to life to me, especially Jesus dying on the cross for my sins, and then this past summer, I recommitted my life to Christ, and now I want to get baptized as an outward symbol of my commitment to Jesus.
Right, Right. So the Bible came to life for you, and now you want to do this outward symbol of your commitment. I know you mentioned to me when we were talking also, you view baptism as like a step closer, a step deeper into your relationship with God. So tell us who that Bible teacher was, because they're here, and I'm going to ask him to come up and pray. So you get to introduce him, okay?
His name is Mr. Herr, and he was my algebra and Bible teacher in eighth grade.
In eighth grade. Mr. Herr, come on up. You're going to join us, right? Now, you get to be taller than me. Yeah. That's good. That's awesome. This is awesome. You know, I think this is really an honor for you to have a student say that you were a part, you were one of the people that God used to bring the Bible to life, because that's what every Bible teacher wants to do. So how does it feel to be here this morning? Just say a word or two, and then I'm going to ask you to pray a blessing for Hannah.
Yeah. It was great joining you guys this morning. And just to hear, I had no idea what she was going to say. So last year was my first year teaching Bible, and it was just really encouraging to hear that. And I see so much good in Hannah. She is a natural encourager. She's just got a real sweet spirit and serves other people very naturally. So yeah, I'm excited for her.
Now, you teach at Crables, right? Are you still at Crables? In the middle school there, right? So great. So Hannah, you come over here to stand with Mr. Herr, and then I'm just going to ask you to pray a blessing for her. I'll pray for her then in the baptistry. But you go ahead and pray a blessing for her now if you would. Okay. I know it would mean a lot to her.
God, we thank you for Hannah, Lord, and the work that you've already begun to do in her life, Father. And just looking into her future, Lord, there are so many things that she can do. There are so many places that she can go, Lord, but we pray that above all else, that each day she would just fall deeper and deeper in love with you, Father, and that she would understand your grace more and more each day. And from that seed of grace would grow out so many good things, Father, that she would choose to love you more, and that she would choose to serve you in new ways, Father, and these gifts that you've given her that are natural to her, Father, that you would develop those, Lord, and that you would just use her in more and more ways, Father, and even gifts that she hasn't experienced yet or discovered yet in her life, that you would just bring those to the light in her life, Father. And I can't pray for her faith formation without mentioning this church, Lord, that we pray you have built us to need one another and to function within a body and as a unit, Lord. So I just pray for this congregation that they would continue just to build her up, to encourage her, to sit with her and hear her questions and her doubts and her struggles, Lord, as a body, yeah, they can continue to build her up. Lord, I thank you for this morning, for the choice that Hannah has made to follow you and continue just to grow her more and more each day. In your name. Amen.
All right. Before you go, I want to pray for you quickly, okay? Father, I thank you for this young man who is your servant in the school. God, we have other teachers here this morning, and we pray for those who are giving themselves to that particular form of ministry. God, as he teaches the Bible specifically, continue to use him by your Holy Spirit to bring the Bible to life in the lives of these young students. So bless him and bless all of those who are teaching these young men and women in various settings, that they would be your instruments. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. Thank you. I'll take that. Thank you, Hannah. You can go ahead and get ready now. All right. Pedro and Angie, get up here. That's a mean way to talk to them, isn't it? I know they're really nervous, but you guys are going to do great. I know some of you have met Pedro and Angie. They have been coming to Living Hope here for 5 months. Okay. So, 5 months. So I think you're going to start, Angie. Or, yes? Yeah, you can do it. Come on, you can do it.
Good morning.
So just start the story with telling us, you live right close to the church here, but how did you come to know about Living Hope?
Because, first of all, I came because, I know the church through my kids because they used to come to Study Buddy. But then I decided to get married with Pedro, and I came and talked to you.
Did you get married in the church?
Yes.
So So just tell us a story then. What happened from there? Pedro's going to tell the story too then. But
I asked you to marry us, and you asked me why. And I tell you because I want to be, I want God to bless our marriage. Because
mm-hmm. right.
I could get married anywhere, but I wanted God to bless our marriage.
Right. So then we started meeting together. I don't know if you remember this, but I actually told you the relationship and uh-huh. broken relationship and all that stuff. But then that kind of brought us to another point early in those meetings. Do you remember that? About the gift, when I was talking to you about the gift.
Yeah, you asked me if we are ready to accept the gift, and I told you I wasn't ready. I was afraid of God. I didn't want to play with God, so I wasn't ready.
I was really encouraged by both of them because, you know, sometimes when you share the gospel with people, it seems like they take it lightly. That wasn't the case with Pedro or Angie, and that was their first response. They're like, look, we're not going to play with God. We're not going to do this half-heartedly. You know, we have to be all in if we're going to do this. So I just had an idea. Let's do this. Let me have that. So That moment, that thing about being afraid of God, just what were you thinking? What was going through your mind at that point?
No idea, but we talk about it real good, and we decide to accept it. We did. Yeah. We got married. Mm-hmm. We right here right now.
Yeah. So, give me that back. He's not done yet. Don't worry. I'm doing the back and forth thing. I wasn't really planning it this way, but we're doing it this way. So, so you both, I remember that afternoon well. We were back in one of the offices here, and you both prayed to accept Christ. So just tell me about your life since then, like some of the things that you're doing, that God is doing.
Well, I've been seeing a lot of change on Pedro. Mm-hmm. Like, every Sunday I come here, and mostly I pray for my family, my kids, my mom, my dad, but mostly for Pedro. And since we've been here, since we accepted God, I've seen his change. He's more patient. He's more loving. Mm-hmm. He changed.
Sound like the fruit of the Spirit? Anybody?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yes.
Yep. Now, you've started coming here on Thursday mornings. Just say a little bit about that. To the Bible study.
Yeah, ladies Bible study.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I like it a lot. I'm learning because I'm not, I'm new at this. I've been going to church all my life, like since kid, but it doesn't get through my head. I'm learning because I don't know how to read a Bible yet. I'm not quite good at it yet.
You know how to read, but it's often confusing to you. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like when I'm in the study Bible, I always stop and ask a lot of questions because it's really, really confusing. But I like it. I love my classmates. Rebecca teach me a lot because I ask her a lot of questions. but I really like it, and I'm learning a lot from it.
So how did you respond when I said about getting baptized? Remember what you said?
Yes.
What did you say? I'll tell you what she said. She said, I don't have to talk, do I? And I said, you don't have to. You don't have to. You really don't. I won't force you to talk. But this is what happened. Angie said to me 1 week ago, she said, I'm praying that God will give me the strength to say the things he wants me to say. Guess what? He did it.
Yes.
He did it?
Yes.
All right, now I'm going to take that back. So Angie kind of brought us in the story here when you first connected with Living Hope, but I know especially for you, Pedro, you've had a bit of a journey even getting to this point. Both of you were born in Puerto Rico. Uh-huh. Now you came to the States as a child. You were pretty young. Now you came to the States when you were older, and that was really like this very difficult part of your life. Just say a little bit about that if you would. And that was part of what you had prepared to say.
Well, I grew up on the street until I was 18. Almost lost my life twice.
Sorry. And, I don't know what she said, but I'm sure it was good.
Yeah, you can do it.
Travel to New York, go back to Puerto Rico, Lancaster, until I met Angie, then my life changed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
Then I met you, then my life changed again.
So your life is different now.
A lot different.
What have you seen change in her?
Well, same thing she told about me was the same about her.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I mean, I've just so enjoyed meeting with these guys and hearing their stories. So how did you react when I asked you about baptism?
Finally.
You were all in. You were all in. So, well, thanks for sharing your story. I really appreciate it. I know some of you have gotten to meet Pedro and Angie. They're a great couple. It's such a joy to see what you are doing to minister to them. Because, yeah, I've met with them, but they will tell me, yeah, Pedro, go down the list. Yeah, I know this guy and this guy and this guy and this guy. He's always come up and say hello to me. And this guy is bugging me like every minute to come to his life group and like all this. So, yeah. So we'll talk more then. Thank you for sharing your story. All right, you guys can go get ready. All right, we're going to make a transition now where I'm going to go up there and then we're going to start the baptisms. And again, these rows are open up here, so if you've come specifically to support someone in their baptism, feel free to move up into these spots when they're baptized. And then when they are through, then go back to your normal seats again. So I have to remember to take this thing off my head and then get into the water. While I do that, we have a video for you to watch while we make this transition.
Joy, 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 down in my heart. Down in my heart. I've got the joy, joy, joy. I'm so happy, so happy, so very happy. And I'm so happy, so happy, so very happy. Joy, 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 down in my heart.
Can't read Spanish. This is what those words said. If Jesus did not rise, if he did not rise, we are lost. If he did not rise, death is all. If he did not rise, sin remains. If he did not rise, hope is gone. But Jesus did rise. Hope is sure. Sin is gone. Death is done. We are found. He is risen. He is risen indeed. So, hopefully that's just a really brief summary of the morning. So we're gonna baptize some folks now. So Braden, where are you at? Come on up, buddy. It's your turn. And okay, Braden, we heard your story, so I have four questions for you. Do you believe that Jesus Christ died on a cross to pay the penalty for your sins?
Yes, I do.
And have you accepted his gift of forgiveness by placing your faith in him?
Yes, I have.
Do you believe that he also rose from the grave and is giving you new life each day?
Yes.
And then do you now commit yourself to the ongoing battle against sin and to living your life in obedience to God?
Yes.
I ask the Lord for just a word of encouragement for each person that's getting baptized. And for you, Braden, he took me back to just that the bold way that you came up to me that Sunday morning and said, hey, I want to be baptized. So I believe that God is going to use that boldness for him, the unique personality he's given you. He's going to use that. You have to submit it to him, but he's going to use that. So, all right, now we're going to go here. Father, I pray for this young son of yours, God, and for your plans for him, for the purposes you have for his life. Holy Spirit, baptize him as well with your presence, with your power, with your gifts, with your fruit, that he would walk in a relationship with you that is evident to all those around him. So bless him today. Encourage him today. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right, buddy. You can go. Okay. All right, Jackie, you're up. Now, Jackie, you have asked Carla to join us in the water. I've said to each of the people getting baptized that they could have someone join them if they wanted to. Why did you choose Carla?
Carla has been one of my biggest cheerleaders through this entire journey for me. Just so full of love and encouragement that I just really wanted her with me.
Well, like I said to Braden, as I was asking the Lord, you know, what word of encouragement to give you today, I just felt like he was saying that, and you mentioned this earlier, you have been on the receiving end of a lot of difficulty and a lot of things that I know felt like hatred. You've been on the receiving of far more of that than any of us would ever want to or that most of us have experienced. But God is saying that he is going to use you on the giving end of his love and his encouragement. What you have received wrongly, you are going to give rightly. What you have received that has hurt you, you are going to give to help others. That's the ministry God has for you. And like I say, you're very, very early. And you haven't really seen like 90% of that yet. But that's what I believe. And so when you ask the question, why does God allow these things to happen? I can't answer for God. But I think one of the things he does is he takes the things that the enemy has intended for evil and he uses them for good. And this is what he's doing in your life right now. Okay? All right. So, questions for you. Do you believe that Jesus Christ died on a cross to pay the penalty for your sins? Have you accepted that free gift of his forgiveness?
Yes.
Do you also believe that he rose from the dead and that he is bringing you new life each day?
Yes.
And do you also commit now to this lifelong battle against sin and to surrender your life to his will and his leading?
Yes.
All right. So based on your statement of placing faith in Christ, we're going to baptize you.
First of all, just thank you for honoring me this way. It's awesome to be able to do that with you, and that's so much joy in walking alongside you. You can't imagine. But the scripture that kept coming to me in the weeks leading up to this were, there's a scripture in the Old Testament that says the Lord will restore the years the locusts have eaten, and the things that have been destroyed, the Lord's going to restore, and I really believe that, and I'm just very excited for you, so I'm going to pray. Well, Father God, we just thank you so much for this new life. God, we're just rejoicing with the angels, Father God, as you do turn evil around and bring it to good, Father God. Lord, I just pray for Jackie that the questions that she still has, Lord, that you would answer them for her, Father God, and that you would come to her in miraculous ways, Father, that you would just envelop her in your love, Lord, where she would just melt in your arms, Father God. I pray, Lord, that everything that she did not get as a child would come to her hundredfold as an adult, Father God. I thank you, Lord, for her family, for the love between her and her husband, and for the love for her and her children. And just pray, Lord, that you watch over their family, Lord God, that you protect them. Lord, just give them more of you. That's the answer to everything, Jesus. Just pray that she would hear you in new ways, Father God, that she would feel your presence more and more, Lord, as she learns more and more about you. God, I just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, I also pray for this precious daughter of yours,
God, I pray that your plans and purposes for her, which are just now beginning to unfold, would be fully released, that nothing would stand in the way of all that you want to do through this godly woman. As she learns of your love, as she learns that you continue to relay that message to her, that Jackie, it's not about your performance, it's not about what you do, but it's about my love for you, your faith in me. God, continue to release your plans and purposes in her life. Bless her as a daughter of yours. Bless her as a wife, as a mother, and as your servant. God, use her mightily, we pray. Holy Spirit, pour out your blessing continually on her, your gifts, your fruit, your power, your presence, your leading, in every way, Jesus, in every way and every day. I pray in your name, amen. All right. All right, Hannah, you're up next. Hannah has asked to be baptized with pouring, which again, for us at Living Hope, baptism is a symbol. We don't get hung up on exactly how it's done, but the things that baptism symbolizes are faith in Christ and your surrender to him. So Hannah, as I was asking the Lord for a word of encouragement for you, I don't know if this connects or not. I don't know you that well. But I felt like God was impressing on me that he has wired you for intimacy with him, and that worship is going to be a part of that. Like, I don't know if that connects with you or not, but that's what I want to encourage you in that. I encourage us all in that. But this relationship that's been restored is really a relationship that can go into a very deep intimacy with your Father, with your Heavenly Father, as it has with your earthly parents. So I just want to encourage you in that, and specifically in the area of worship, you will have very precious encounters with the Lord in that way. So I just encourage you in that. So let me ask you these questions. Do you believe that Christ died on the cross to pay the penalty for your sins?
Yes.
And do you also, or have you acknowledged and received this gift of forgiveness through his blood?
Yes.
Do you also believe that he rose from the grave to new life and that he will give you new life each day?
Yes.
And do you now commit yourself to this lifelong battle, ongoing battle against sin, and to surrender to his leading in your life?
Yes.
All right. Very good. Father, I thank you for this precious daughter of yours. God, with her whole life ahead of her, she's been raised in a family where she's been introduced to you. She's known you from a young age. And God, I believe you're just going to draw her ever closer to you. You'll continue revealing the secrets of your heart to her. And she will be a woman that loves you first and loves you most. So God, as you reveal to her the steps and the plan for her life, just continue to draw her ever closer to you as that intimate father-daughter relationship that you've intended. Bless her today. Pour out Holy Spirit on her. Bless her with your power, with your gifts, with your fruit, leading her, giving her clear leadership all throughout her life that she would follow you. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, Pedro and Angie, come on up. I've asked Pedro and Angie to come together. I love baptizing husbands and wives together. It is just awesome. So come on down.
Now, while they're not down here in the water, Pedro, tell us why you chose who you did to have waiting up here as you get out.
I have no idea.
Oh, yes, you do. You told me how encouraging Kevin always is to you. Like, every time he sees you, he's, like, encouraging you and blessing you. So, Kevin, for those of you who don't know him, has a gift of encouragement. And then you've already mentioned this, but just repeat, like, the blessing that Rebecca has been to you.
Yeah, I choose Rebecca because she's a great sister and a good teacher and a good friend. I really love you a lot.
All right. Okay, so before I ask you those questions, both of these folks here, turn around so they can see you. They don't want to see me. This young man and woman, they both say that they are shy, that they don't like talking in front of people. But Angie, I want to tell you that you can use that shy word all you want, but you are a woman of power. You know what you want. You're very clear on what you want, how you want things to happen in your family, how you want things to happen in your life. So what's happening with you right now is God is transforming that natural strength that you have as you surrender to the Holy Spirit. That's going to increasingly becoming the voice of God in you, like how he's leading you, what he's doing in your life, what he's doing in your marriage, what he's doing in your family. So, because I know from meeting with you that you are very clear, your thoughts, your desires, what you want, what's unacceptable to you. And I know you don't like talking about that a lot in front of a lot of people, but I know that's in you. So God is going to continue to use that. And Pedro, I just feel like the Lord is giving you the word leadership. You are a man who is very committed to what you've accepted and what you have committed to God. Angie tells me about the way your life is changing and all these things that are different about you. And I just believe that God has some type of leadership out there. And don't get freaked out by that word, because it can mean a million different things. But I believe God will use you as a voice, as an example, to actually lead others and to encourage others. So that's my word for you today. I'll ask both of you these questions. You can both answer then. Angie, do you believe that Christ died on a cross to pay the penalty for your sins?
Yes.
Pedro?
Yes.
Do you also believe that he rose from the dead? No, I'm sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. The second question is, have you accepted that gift of forgiveness by faith?
Yes.
Yes.
Do you also believe that he rose again from the grave and that he can now give you new life? He is giving you new life every day.
Yes.
Yes.
All right. And then finally, do you commit yourself to this ongoing battle against sin and living your life in obedience to Christ?
Yes, I do.
Yes.
All right. Awesome. Okay. Father, I pray your blessing on this powerful woman of God. She is learning. She is in the early stages. But God, I believe you will use Angie as a powerful voice for you, a woman who knows what is right, a woman who is hungry to learn from your word. So God, bless her in her knowledge of you, in her commitment to you. God, make the Bible increasingly come to life by the power of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you bring to life those words on the page. So pour out your Holy Spirit on her today in a new way, bringing revelation to your Holy Scriptures. Holy Spirit, you have guided the writing of every word in the Bible, so we know we can trust you to explain and to interpret every one of those words to our hearts, not just to our minds, but to our hearts. So bless Angie today. Encourage her today. Pour out your Spirit on her. And strengthen her for all you're calling her to, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. Father, I pray your blessing on this mighty man of yours. I know he would never say that he is a mighty man of yours, but God, he is a man that has taken seriously, putting his faith in you, committing himself to you. God, and I am absolutely sure you will continue to lead him and show him all that you have for him as he surrenders to you. Father, pour out your spirit, pour out your spirit on Pedro in increasing measure. That he would know you in ways he hasn't known you before, that he would understand the scriptures in ways that he hasn't before, and that he would experience, Father, your power in his life. You, he would see, as his wife is already saying, the fruit of the Spirit in his life. So anoint him today, bless him today in power and love and sound mind, Father, according to your plans and purposes. I pray in the name of Jesus. And now Kevin said he also wanted to offer a prayer for you. So I'm going to hand the mic up to Kevin.
All right. Pedro, I felt like God gave me the word for you, rock. Okay? A rock is immovable, and it is hard, and it is powerful. And so I'm just going to pray for that, just that image that God's given me just over you and your family, your marriage. God, I thank you for this brother, Lord, and Pedro, Lord, I just thank you so much for the friendship that I've been able to build, Lord, just through the retreat and times of just being able to connect with him and just seeing the life, God, that is coming through him. And God, I pray that he would be a mighty rock, a spiritual rock in his family, in his marriage. And God, I pray that the change which Angie has seen in him is only the tip of the iceberg, that there will be so much more change, Lord, spiritual change and fruit, that others will be able to look at him and say, wow, that's not the Pedro we knew. That's not the Pedro of the past. It's because you are changing him from glory to glory. And so, God, I pray that he would become more and more each day, that new creation, that new man that is being created each day by you. And so, God, I pray today would be the beginning of a new journey, that you would baptize him, Holy Spirit, that you would empower him, Holy Spirit, and that the fruit would just begin to flow in fresh new ways out of his life. And Angie and their family, God, I pray a blessing on them. God, we are excited that this is only the beginning of the journey that you have for them. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.
Lord, I just thank you so much for Angie, God, and what a joy it has been to get to know her and walk alongside her as she's growing in her faith. And Father, I just ask that just as she has already seen such wonderful change in her husband, in her life, in the lives of her children, Lord, through her walk with you, I just pray that she would have that assurance that her decision to follow you affects not only just her immediate family right now, but that will be pouring out blessings upon generation after generation to come after them, Lord. So we thank you for the good work that you've begun in their lives, but we also thank you for the work that you will do in the generations that come after them. Amen.
Glad you could join us today. Thanks for your patience. I love these mornings. Listen, Living Hope Community Church, this is what we're called to. Preaching the gospel, explaining to people that God's love for them is not based on works,
but that a man who died on the cross can restore their relationship with him through their simply putting their faith in him. That is what we are called to. This is what we are called to. Then discipling the people who come to that truth, that is what we are called to. And by God's help, that is what we will be known for. I wanted to say it earlier, but baptism is really, in some sense, a celebration of a person being reunited with their Creator. It's a celebration of that moment when a person realizes there's a get-out-of-jail-free card laying here, and all I have to do by faith is use it. So, again, if there's any way we can pray with any of you in that regard, we would love to do that this morning. If you're interested in baptism, talk to us. We would love to talk to you about that. So, all right. It's time to let you go. You have other plans, other things to do today. So I'll ask you to stand while I stay in this very low position and just ask the Lord to bless you. Father, I thank you for this body. I thank you for the way that we've heard testimonies this morning of the way that people in the body are speaking into people's lives, discipling them, walking alongside of them, encouraging them, being a cheerleader, to use Jackie's words. God, may the cheerleader anointing rest on this church. God, that we would be encouragers. We would come alongside of people and say, you can do it. This is what God is calling you to. You are enough through Christ. So I pray your blessing on this body. May that ministry increase. May you encourage each one today as we serve you. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. You're dismissed. Thanks so much for coming.